Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Yevamos, Daf Pei Zayin, the ninth parak, Yesh Mitaros. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Kashi Choseres, Choseres Utruma, Veino Choseres Ochazav Ashok. When she, referring to the Kohen's daughter, returns to her father's house after being widowed or divorced from a non-Kohen, she returns to her right to eat Truma, but she does not return to her right to eat from the Choseres Ashok. The Gemara brings five different sources for this din, including the following. Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, that the source is Melechem Avia Tochel. She may eat from her father's bread. Melechem V'lo Kol Lechem Prat L'Chaz V'Shok. From the bread, but not all the bread, which excludes the Chaz V'Shok. Rav Safra said the Pasuk states, Melechem Avia Tochel. She may eat from her father's bread. Lechem V'lo Basar. Bread, but not meat. Rav Papa said the Pasuk teaches, Lechem Knui L'Avia. Bread that belongs to her father, Prat L'Chaz V'Shok, the Meshulchan Gavol Kazachu, which excludes the Chaz V'Shok, which do not belong to the Kohanim. Rather, they acquire these portions from the table of the Most High. Point number two, from the Pasuk addressing the right of a Bas Kohen to return to eat Truma in her father's house, we learn two exclusions. From Vizera Einla, and she has no offspring, we learn that if she has a child that is already born, she may not eat Truma. And from Kenuhureha, as in her youth, we learn that she may not eat Truma if she's pregnant. The Gemara now explains why both teachings are needed. If the Torah had only written Vizera Einla and she has no offspring, one might have thought that a woman who has a child is excluded from eating truma because Mikar Chad Gufa Vahashta Tre Gufe, because originally she left her house as one body and now she is two bodies, herself and her child. But a pregnant woman is still only one body and therefore we might think she could eat truma. And if the Torah had only written Knarel, as in her youth, to exclude a pregnant woman, one might have thought a pregnant woman is forbidden, the Mikara Gufa Srika, Vahashta Gufa Malya, because originally her body was empty and now her body is full. But a woman who has already given birth, who originally left when her body was empty and is returning with her body empty, I would say she should not be excluded from eating Teruma. And point number three, the opening mission of the 10th parak states, Ha'isha shalach ba'ala minisayam, u'baba amrula mesa ba'alich v'nises, concerning a woman whose husband went overseas and they came and reported to her, your husband died, and she went and married another woman, va'achachach ba'ala, and afterwards, her first husband returned, rendering her second marriage void, she faces 16 consequences, beginning with the requirement to leave both husbands. The Gemara explains that even though the Mishnah stated they came and told her, which implies that two witnesses came, it can be inferred from the Seifa, which states, Nisish Shaloberushus Muteres Lachzerlo. If she remarried without the sanction of Basin, she is permitted to return to him, where the case refers to where there were two witnesses, that the Reisha is dealing with the case where she got remarried based on Eid Echod, the testimony of one witness. We can learn from here that Eid Echod Neman, a single witness, is believed to permit a woman to marry. The Gemara's attempt to bring a deraisa source that one witness is believed with regard to prohibitions is successfully challenged. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, Kashi Choseres, Choseres Hutruma Ve'ino Choseres Hutchazav Ashok. When she, referring to the Kohen's daughter, returns to her father's house after being widowed or divorced from a non-Kohen, she returns to her right to eat Truma, but does not return to her right to eat from the Chazav Ashok. The Gemara brings five different sources for this din, including the following. Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, that the source is Melechem Avia Tochel. She may eat from her father's bread. Melechem V'lo Kol Lechem Prat L'Chaz V'Shok. From the bread, but not all the bread, which excludes the Chaz V'Shok. Rav Safra said the Pasuk states, Melechem Avia Tochel. She may eat from her father's bread. Lechem V'lo Basar. Bread, but not meat. Rav Papa said the Pasuk teaches, Lechem Knui L'Avia. Bread that belongs to her father, Prat L'Chaz V'Shok, the Meshulchan Gavol Kazachu, which excludes the Chaz V'Shok, which do not belong to the Kohanim. Rather, they acquire these portions from the table of the Most High. Point number two, from the Pasuk addressing the right of a Bas Kohen to return to eat Truma in her father's house, we learn two exclusions. From Vizera Einla, and she has no offspring, we learn that if she has a child that is already born, she may not eat Truma. And from Kenuhureha, as in her youth, we learn that she may not eat Truma if she's pregnant. The Gemara now explains why both teachings are needed. If the Torah had only written Vizera Einla and she has no offspring, one might have thought that a woman who has a child is excluded from eating Truma because Mikara Chad Gufa Vahashta Tre Gufe, because originally she left her house as one body and now she is two bodies, herself and her child. But a pregnant woman is still only one body and therefore we might think she could eat Truma. And if the Torah had only written Knarel, as in her youth, to exclude a pregnant woman, one might have thought a pregnant woman is forbidden, the Mikara Gufa Srika, Vahashta Gufa Malya, because originally her body was empty and now her body is full. But a woman who has already given birth, who originally left when her body was empty and is returning with her body empty, I would say she should not be excluded from eating Teruma. And pointing me through the opening mission, the 10th parak states, Ha'isha shalach ba'ala minis ha'yam, u'ba'ba amru'a mes ba'alich v'nisis, concerning a woman whose husband went overseas and they came and reported to her, your husband died, and she went and married another woman, v'achachach ba'ala, and afterwards, her first husband returned, rendering her second marriage void, she faces 16 consequences, beginning with the requirement to leave both husbands. The Gemara explains that even though the Mishnah stated they came and told her, which implies that two witnesses came, it can be inferred from the Seifa, which states, Nisish shelo berushus muteres lachzuro. If she remarried without the sanction of Basin, she is permitted to return to him, where the case refers to where there were two witnesses, that the Reisha is dealing with a case where she got remarried based on Eid Echod, the testimony of one witness. We can learn from here that Eid Echod Neman, a single witness, is believed to permit a woman to marry. The Gemara's attempt to bring a deraisa source that one witness is believed with regard to prohibitions is successfully challenged. Alright, so now we go to our Siman Daf Pei Zayin, and this one was suggested to us by Binyamin Michel from Boca Raton and Eli Behar from Ramat Beit Shemesh. They both suggested Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. A golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The little Bas Cohen eating from her golden Pez candy dispenser, who turned away her divorced sister, who came to eat of the Chazev Ashok, and then gave one candy to her pregnant sister, and two to the one with a child, who were forbidden from Truma, didn't know what to give her sister whose husband died overseas, based on the testimony of one aide. Once again, in slow motion. The little Bas Cohen eating from her golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must have learned off Pei Zayin. The little Bas Cohen eating from her golden Pez candy dispenser, who turned away her divorced sister, who came to eat from the Chazav Ashok, which reminds us it was taught in the Braisa that when she, referring to a Bas Cohen, returns to her father's house after being widowed or divorced from a non-Cohen, she returns to her right to eat Truma, but she does not return to her right to eat from the Chazav Ashok. The Gemara brings five different sources for this din. Rav Safra said, the Pasuk states, Melechem Afia Tochel, she may eat from her father's bread. Lechem Velo Basar, bread, but not meat. So, the little Bas Cohen eating from her golden Pez candy dispenser, who turned away her divorced sister, who came to eat from the Chazav Ashok, and then gave one candy to her pregnant sister, and two to the one with a child, who were forbidden from Truma, which reminds us from the Pasuk addressing the right of a Bas Cohen to return to eat Truma in her father's house, we learn two exclusions. From Vazera Einla, she has no offspring, we learn that if she has a child that is already born, she may not eat Truma. And from Kenuhurea, as in her youth, we learn that she may not eat Truma if she's pregnant. The Gemara explains why both teachings are needed. So, the little Bas Cohen eating from her golden Pez candy dispenser, who turned away her divorced sister who came to eat from the Chazav Ashok, and then gave one candy to her pregnant sister, and two to the one with the child, who were forbidden from Truma, didn't know what to give her sister, whose husband died overseas, based on the testimony of one aide. Which reminds us of the opening mission of the 10th Perek states, Ha'isha shahalach ba'ala minis ha'yam, uvava amrula meis ba'alich v'nises, concerning a woman whose husband went overseas and they came and reported to her, your husband died, and she went and married another man, v'achachach ba'ala, and afterwards her first husband returned, rendering her second marriage void, she faces 16 consequences, beginning with the requirement to leave both husbands. The Gemara explains that even though the Mishnah stated they came and told her, which implies that two witnesses came, it can be inferred from the Sefer that the Reisha is dealing with a case where she got remarried based on Eid Echod, the testimony of one witness. So once again, the little Bas Cohen eating from her golden Pez candy dispenser, who turned away her divorced sister, who came to eat from the Chazav Ashok, and then gave one candy to her pregnant sister and two to the one with a child, who were forbidden from Truma, didn't know what to give her sister whose husband died overseas, based on the testimony of one aide. All right, now it's time to go to our four-block back Chazara. Daf Pei Gimel. So the Siman Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The farmer who uses pogo stick, that must be more in Daf Pei Gimel. The farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shavuos, which reminds us, Gemara lists Mishnayos where Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon issued rulings together and the halacha goes according to them. One of them being, in terms of our chova, grafting. The one does not graft a branch on a tree 2 weeks before Shavuos, which is understood to mean 44 days before Shavuos, since the 30 days before Shavuos are already ushered to the malacha because of Tosva Shavuos. So the farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shavuos spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tum-tum neighbor's grain, which reminds us Shmuel said the halachas of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon regarding kiddush, rendering produce unfit regarding klein. For it was taught in Mishnah and klein, Rabbi Meir says one who spreads his vine over the standing grain of his friend has rendered the grain unfit as Klai Kerim and as Chai for its loss. Rabbi Yosri, Rabbi Shimon say, Ein Adam Osu Davar Shein Shalo. A person cannot render something prohibited unless it belongs to him. And Tosos explains that this principle only applies with prohibitions that require intent, such as Klai. But in cases that do not require intent, such as one putting chalav or nevela in his friend's pot of meat, the food certainly becomes forbidden. So the farmer uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree. 44 days before Shaviz spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain, who was distracted while being informed he should not perform chalitza. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum whose genital covering was torn open and found to be a male should not perform chalitza because he's a sris vadai, a definite sris. Whereas his son Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said that a tumtum is only a suffix sris. The nafkamina between them is to disqualify the yavama for yibum when there are other brothers, and to perform chalitza when there are no other brothers. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that he's a sris vadai, his act of chalitza has no validity, and she still may be taken in yibum by the other brothers, whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it may have a validity if he's not a sris chama. If there are no other brothers, Rabbi Yehuda says she does not require chalitza from him, whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, she does, since he might not be a sris chama. Daf Pei Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Pei Dalet is a launch pad. So here goes. The Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to the Almana on his launch pad. Launch pad? That must mean we're on Daf Pei Dalet. The Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an Almana on his launch pad while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by. Which reminds us, the opening mission in the ninth parak presents four categories of women. The first category being those who are permitted to their husbands and prohibited to their yavams. The first case is Kohen Hediot shenasas Almana v'yeshu ach Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Hediot who married an Almana and he has a brother who's a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara addresses why the mission said he was married to a widow, when it could have said that he did kedushin with her, and she would still be forbidden to the yavam, who is a Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an Alman on his launch pad, while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by, was interrupted by a basula, who climbed up and asked why he didn't marry her, which reminds us. The Gemara continues to challenge the first example of the mission and asks why the first case is that of an Almana, lisne basula. Let it state she was a basula, had never been married, since she will become an Almana when the Kohen Hediot dies. So the Kohen Hediot astronaut getting married to an Almana on his launch pad, while his brother the Kohen Gadol stood by, was interrupted by a basula, who climbed up and asked why he didn't marry her. And he told her that as a Kohen she could marry the Chala working in the control tower. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Lohuzra Kasheris Lihinas Lepsuan. Eligible women, referring to the daughters of Kohanim, are not prohibited to be married to Pesuim such as Chalolim. Ravim Bar Yitzchak's challenge to Rav's ruling is rebuffed. Daf Pehe. So the Simmer Daf Pehe is associated to a mouth and we use a dentist. So here goes. The Kohen Gadol was way overseas lecturing at a dental convention. Dental convention? Dentist? That must be on Daf Pehe, mouth. So the Kohen Gadol, who was away overseas lecturing at a dental convention, when he got a call that his Almana wife had taken out a loan to cover her mazonos, which reminds us, Belazar asked Rabbi Yochanan if an Almana married a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha or a Chalutza married a Kohen Hediot, yesh lahem mazonos or ein lahem mazonos, do they have the right to sustenance or not when the husband went overseas and she borrowed money and used it to support herself? Rabbi Yochanan answered that while she can claim the ksuba itself, which is collected upon leaving the marriage, she cannot claim mazonos, which might cause her to stay with him. So the Kohen Gadol, who was away overseas lecturing at a dental convention, when he got a call that his Almana wife had taken out a loan to cover her mazonos, overheard a dentist tell his Shnia wife that she was not going to receive her ksuba like her Almana friend got from the Kohen Gadol. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, an Almana to a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha or Chalutza to a Kohen Hediot, she receives her ksuba, peros, mazonos, and worn out garments, referring to garments that she brought into the marriage, she may take with her when the marriage ends, whereas Shnios receive none of them. The brisa brings three explanations for the distinction. Revi says the distinction is the case of the Almana to a Kohen Gadol is a deraisa, v'divrei Torah ein tzrichin chizuk, and deraisa law does not require chizuk, whereas a derabban like Shnios does require chizuk. So the Kohen Gadol was away overseas lecturing at a dental convention when he got a call that his Almana wife had taken out a loan to cover her mazonos, overheard a dentist tell his Shnia wife that she was not going to receive her ksuba like her Almana friend got from the Kohen Gadol, since she was the one who persuaded him to get married. Which reminds us, the Braisa brought a third explanation why the Almana to a Kohen Gadol receives a ksuba, whereas the Shnia does not. In the case of the Almana to a Kohen Gadol, Zehu Margila, it's the man who persuades the woman to marry him. A woman would not want to enter a marriage which disqualifies her, her husband, and her children, and where her husband would be angry with her, that she causes a psul for him and his children. In the case of the Shnia, Zohi Margilaso, it's she that persuades the man to marry her. Since the marriage will not disqualify her, her husband, or her children, she has nothing to lose, and therefore persuades him. Daf Pei Vav, so the Simmer Daf Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The Maaser Rishon police, police, that must be learned Daf Pei Vav. The Maaser Rishon police who prevented Maaser Rishon from being given to Zarim, which reminds us that the Rav Meir's source that Maaser Rishon is Asur to Zarim is the pasuk that states, Kes Maaser B'nei Yisrael Asher Yerimu L'Hashem Truma, for the Maaser of the Jewish people that they will designate to Hashem as Truma, I have given to the Levim as an inheritance. By describing Maaser as Truma, the pasuk is teaching, Ma Truma Asur L'Zarim of Maaser Rishon Asur L'Zarim. Just as Truma is forbidden to Zarim, so too Maaser Rishon is forbidden to Zarim. The Rabbanan who hold that Maaser Rishon is Mutter to Zarim explain the pasuk to teach Matruma Tovelas of Maaser Rishon Nami Tovel, just as Truma affects the law of Tevel, which Rashi explains to mean that if someone eats Tevel where Truma has not been separated, he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim, so too if one eats Tevel where Maaser Rishon has not been separated, he's Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Maaser Rishon police who prevented Maaser Rishon from being given to Zarim, as well as to Kohanim, to the delight of the Levim, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Kiva's source that Maaser Rishon may only be given to Levim is the pasuk that states, Vel Levim Tadaber v'amarta aleihem, to the Levim shall you speak, and you shall say to them when you take Maaser. The pasuk is specifically addressing Levim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, who holds that Maaser Rishon may also be given to Kohanim, would respond and explain the pasuk in light of what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said. Vestrim ba'arba makomos nikra Kohanim Levim. In 24 places in Tanakh, Kohanim are called the Levim, and this pasuk would be one of them. So, the Maaser Rishon police who prevented Maaser Rishon from being given to Zarim, as well as to Kohanim to the delight of the Levim, received a message from police headquarters that the Levim were penalized and to distribute the Maaser instead to the poor. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yonasan and the elders disagree on the nature of the penalty to the Levim who did not ascend from Babel regarding Maaser Rishon. One who holds Kansalanim, the penalty required the Maaser be given to the poor, which the Mefarshim explained means that it may also be given to the poor. This would deprive the Levim of some of the Maaser. The other one holds that Kohanim be made to Masan Anim Ninu. When Kohanim are Tame, they are poor because they cannot eat Truma then, so as a decree, the Maaser be given to them. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldenzichu wishing you a great day and great learning.